All right. Welcome, everyone. This is the ORAN software community meeting for May 27th, 2020. We're recording the session. If anyone has any objections, please raise them now. We record each session and post it as part of, along with the minutes, so people can review the discussion if needed. Farheen is our scribe for today. Thank you, Farheen. We'll do a quorum check first. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri, are you on? Okay, here's Jinri is not on. Okay, we'll keep going. David?
Hi, I am here.
Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi. This is Masafumi. I'm here.
Thank you. William?
Hi, this is William.
Bishwa? Huha?
Yes, good morning, you're always here.
Good morning. Ganesh?
Morning, Jack. Hi, everyone. This is Ganesh.
Okay. John Paul?
Yes, hi, Jack. Hello, everybody. John Paul here.
Okay, and I see Jinri. You're able to join?
I think he's having problems with his voice.
Okay. All right. So then let's continue. Jinri will join when he gets his audio working. Okay. All right. Our next item on the agenda is to review previous meeting minutes. We only have last week's to approve, May 20th, 2020. The minutes are here. People can look at them. There's also the attached recording on the highlights. Does anyone have any questions, corrections, or top things to discuss on the previous minutes?
Yes, this is Juha. So maybe one minor comment to point number 13. So I think John Paul seconded the motion, not me.
Okay, 13.
If you go to the bottom of the meeting minutes.
Okay. Okay, seconded. It was
John Paul.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Farheen, are you correcting that?
It's updated, Jack.
All right. So, sorry for the rapid screen moving. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So can I have a motion to accept the meetings from 5/20/2020 of the ORAN software community?
This is Juha. I can make the motion to approve the meeting minutes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Hi, this is Ganesh. Sorry.
That's right. That's normal for video calls. You can't see the other person. So who is that seconding?
Doug.
Who?
I think it was Ganesh. I was a little bit slower compared to him.
Ganesh, is that you?
Yeah, I was seconding it. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. Just trying to get it clear. All right, all those in favor, say aye.
I've been saying aye.
Yeah, say aye.
You are saying aye.
I'm saying aye. John Paul says yes, aye.
All those against say nay. Okay.
Hello.
We approve the minutes from 5:20. Okay. Let's move on to review of today's agenda.
Hello? Hello? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me all right?
Oh. Can you hear me, Jack?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Sorry. Nope. Now it works.
In time. Yeah. Okay, so Jinri is also there. So we have everybody but Vishwa. Okay. We just approved the minutes, Jinri, so we're on to review of today's agenda.
I can hear the discussion, but I mean, it seems that nobody can hear me just now.
Yeah, now we can.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Okay, so I put on an item here to make sure we talk about the preparation for the bronze release. Is there anyone else that has an item that they want to add to today's agenda?
Jack, just to double check on the emails we sent, we have the insights team on today from the lab.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and have a spot for them as well. Okay. I know, Farheen, I just added the insight team. That kind of makes it.
And it's fine, Jack. I got it.
Okay.
It's recording.
Anyone else? Okay. So then we'll move on because we'll cover this we'll cover the bronze stuff under the marketing here in a minute, but also under votes and approval. So are there any items open for votes and approval at this point? I didn't see anything coming up ahead of time. Now, what's going to happen here is we're going to have a go, no-go vote on the bronze release as we, to release that project. So today's not the right day yet. Right. So if we look at our, the B release is supposed to happen on June 14th. So, next week we should be having a go, no go vote on the software release and the press release. So we have some work to finish here in the next 2 weeks if we plan on releasing, on time by the, and so that would put us would mean the press release would come out Monday, June 15th or Tuesday, June 16th, somewhere around there, if we stay on schedule with the B release. We're supposed to end.
Check. Go ahead. Check. For this press release, I have one comment. That you see in the O-RAN Alliance, they actually plan the yearly communication. And actually, it is currently not quite sure that whether we will have one separate PR for the bronze release, or will this, the bronze release be kind of integrated into the mid-year press release for O-RAN Alliance. So I think this topic, so I had intended to bring this to EC last time, but you see there was no time to discuss this. But hopefully on the EC call in 1 hour, and we can discuss this. But basically, I think Zebra is aware of this. So it's one of the discussion topic for today's EC call.
Yeah. Right. And so that's fine if, you know, where the mechanics are when we release the information, but the preparation and, you know, documentation and software availability from a testing standpoint, we're still trying to stick to the same timeline.
Yes.
And we'll, you know, if they decide to, you know, release the information a little bit later, that's fine, but we'll at least be ready. But that's assuming that we can complete it by that date, right? We're finishing up end-to-end testing this week. And we'll have to decide if we're ready for a release on the 14th, right? That gives us 2 more weeks to pull together documentation and an additional work for the B release. And then we're on to the maintenance release, right? So one of the things that we need to finish up is gathering the information for the B release. First we have to, for bronze, we have to finish our testing and our documentation and have our package all together. And then there's the press release information that needs to be pulled together and finalized. We're in the process of doing that. So, like Jinri says, we'll discuss here with the EC how they want to release the information. But we need to make sure we have our release information ready for that release. So Jinri, we'll work with you and Zimnik to make sure that he has all the information about the release and comments from anyone who wants to add a statement to the press release. But, you know, we'll follow up on that after today's EC meeting. Hopefully we can discuss that. So
yeah, and then so Chuck, I mean, as kind of the beforehand preparation for information, so one of my idea is that, I mean, usually in the press release, we do want to see the highlights of this release, right? So, I mean, probably it's okay,
yes,
I think, to kind of request the PTL to provide one or two bullet points which can kind of most highlight their work and which they would like to be included in the press release. So, I mean, in that way, it will help us to kind of prepare this information. Hello.
All right. Did people hear Jinri's request?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the PTL to provide highlights, one or two highlights from each project to.
And I mean, those highlights you've seen was being included in the press release.
Yeah, sure.
And it definitely, it don't have to be long, right? Because I mean, there is very limited space for a press release. So just one or two sentences, one or two bullet points.
All right, when's the deadline for that getting to you, Jinri?
How about, I mean, by next talk call?
Okay, and then that should also include any statements from any companies that wanted to add, you know.
Yeah.
As well, okay. Now, since you brought up the talk call, next week's talk call, I won't be on. Lejig will have my proxy, but Jinri, will you be able to organize next week's meeting?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There's a chance I might be able to get here, but probably not. All right. And anyone have any questions on the release process and the release press release? All right, we'll cover our status here with the integration and the test team here in a couple minutes. Anything new on the virtual exhibition?
Nope, but just some information. I knew that Paul Smith has organized the day one review meeting last week, and as far as I know, and I did recall this from the last talk call, and there was one an OSC related demo submitted to Working Group One, to the Orion Alliance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the other thing, since we have you, Jinri, is there is the virtual ORAN mm-hmm. Alliance meeting coming up in a couple of weeks.
In 2 weeks, actually. I'm actually about to mention this. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So we need to make so there is some time slots for the OSC to meet during that time, right, Jinri?
Yes, there yes, is, yeah.
Let me throw up my...
So basically, this virtual Orion Alliance meeting will last for 2 weeks, starting from June 8th, Monday, until June 19th, Friday. Or probably, okay, I mean, it's also possible.
See my,
Oh, yeah, this one, yes.
For the meeting, can people see that?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So, Jinri, you're proposing that the OSC have two time slots on Monday, June 8th? Where we talk to...
Yes. If you scroll down to the bottom...
Cherry release kickoff discussion, OSC?
Yes. So, right, Jack, can you hear me? Yeah, yes, if you scroll down a little bit. Yeah, you can see the line. Low number 13. Yeah, this OSC line. So, the first item... is this cherry release kickoff discussion 2 hours, two time slots on Monday, and then the next topic will be if you look at the E13, yes, this VRV emulation software rental issue on Tuesday. So I mean, this is based on what I have collected before. Not quite sure that whether there is any change on this. Yes, and there is the third one.
And then
The third one is actually proposed by Working Group 8. But they kind of request us to join this discussion.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, okay, yeah.
So the
question I think to the team or to you or to Ritri is that just to confirm that we do need this three slots, two slots that we have required, and we can attend the third topic and we request it by Working Group 8.
How long is the slot? What's the time duration?
One block here is 1 hour. So for this cherry release kickoff discussion, the reserved time is 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And by the way, starting time will be 8 a.m. Oh, 8. Yeah. 8 a.m. EST. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Is there anybody have any problems with that?
Does this clash with any other?
All right.
In that spreadsheet, you had working group 1, 2, 3. They're all having OSC cherry release discussions concurrently.
That means, I mean, they will join the same topic, this discussion topic.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So they're probably, yeah. I think it's easy to understand. I mean, you can easily see that. Yeah. So if you look at the format, so at the beginning of the description, and there is some entity description like working group 1, working group 2, which means that this is the entity who requests this across working group discussion. Okay. And then following that is the topic itself.
Okay. Yeah. Can you please share this somewhere? I don't know. Is it possible?
Oh, I have already sent
you. I'll get it to you real quick.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I have already sent you.
Yeah.
And
okay. All right.
Check your email.
Yeah.
But is this spreadsheet available somewhere and the meeting details for everybody?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, to be honest, this is kind of for over and around.
Put it on the events. Barney, can we add it to the events section?
We can, Jack, yes.
Sorry. All right, Farheen,
you cut out, Jack. Hello?
I cannot hear Jack's voice. Today's connection is very unstable.
I think we lost Jack.
I'm back. Can you hear me again?
Yes, we can hear you, but we do not see your screen.
Yeah, I will start sharing again. Having some internet issues. Can you see me now, screen?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to add to the events section, and I'll send this spreadsheet to you.
Sounds good.
That Jin reset. All right.
Okay.
Jack, is that the latest one? Right. I sent you kind of two copies.
I'll check. I'll make sure the latest one gets Arheen.
Okay. Yeah. I think the latest one is the one that I sent to you and Rachel and Lucien. Yes.
Okay. All right, at this time, what I'd like to do is we're on to open items. I'd like to, at this point, let's get the team to do their, to show what they wanted to cover. This way we got, you know, we can get them, release them at this time. So Tristan, you wanna
Hey Jack.
Sorry, yeah, Jack, you're breaking up. I think. So today's call.
Hello, Tristan.
Yeah. So we have members from the LF IT team that are leading the Insights project. I can introduce Shubhra, who's head of LF IT, and can walk us through a new analytics tool that's being developed, and we've got it set up for the ORAN project, and along with the ORAN, I think several other LF projects. But I'll let Shubhra maybe give us a introduction to it.
Yeah, absolutely. thanks, Trishan. I'm going to share my screen. It's okay. Is everyone able to hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, we can
hear you. Are you able to see my screen okay as well?
Yes, we can see
you. Perfect. All right, so I'll try to keep this concise. Just by way of introductions, I run the product development, engineering, and IT operations out here at the Linux Foundation, supporting close to 600 projects. And for this project, like this is one of the services we are building, and I'll give you an overview into that. To start with, I think. This project, like ORAN SC, right? You have engaged and seen an early beginning of this product mid of last year. And at that point, it was pretty much experimental prototype mode going on. And there was some early engagement, but I think right now we are close to launching this product in GA. And as we go through, we are going and onboarding all the networking projects as well as other projects within the Linux Foundation. So what I'm planning to do is give you a quick overview of where we are, and also just show you like what's in our short-term and long-term roadmap. And as part of the rollout plan, I've been working, my team has been working with most of the PMs in on the networking project to create a rollout plan across all LFN projects and LFH projects as well. So that being said, let's get started. And free feel to interrupt me, right? This is not meant to be a presentation, more than a discussion, open discussion session. Right? All right, so before I introduce the specific product around Insights, wanted to give you a bird's eye view of what are we trying to build, right? So we put this service called as Insights. It used to be called as Developer Analytics. We have rebranded it, and all our projects go through rebranding, and so is this one. But essentially, it's part of a bigger platform, and the platform is called Community Bridge. And this is essentially Linux Foundation's automation platform that my team is building and scaling out. And it offers a variety of services. So we are building a security scanning service, right? It scans vulnerabilities. We are providing a single sign-on service. So fairly soon enough, if you are using things like Zoom and others, right? We are trying to wrap it around a security layer. Analytics is essentially what we'll go deep today. There are some tools you may have used or may have heard around license compliance, right? So my team also has built the easy CLA tool. So if you are looking at, using CLAs for your projects, or even for all the repositories that are managed by my IT team, we also do DCO enforcements. So we build a lot of those tools along those lines. And obviously, if you're using Jira, you're using Confluence, you're using groups.io, meetings and webinars. So we've been working on writing a lot of automation for efficiency and scaling purposes, as well as there are other services that's on our roadmap in terms of a voting service, right? Or an asset management or a project management service. And spring of last year at Open Source Summit, we did announce a crowdfunding service. We did announce a mentorship service and more. And we also already had significant adoption in these services, right? So if you think about it, it's a pretty ambitious vision. But the goal is like to build a centralized platform which can provide these projects, a lot of these services, which are essential in the life cycle of the project itself. Okay. So, so that's a pretty long list, but what's available today, right? So these are the services that we have live today. So obviously we talked about crowdfunding, EasyCLA. There's an IT automation part. We dog food it internally. We call it ITX. So as the project is coming in, you know, provisioning domains or emails or automating a Jira workspace or things like that, right? And today we're going to talk about insights. Our security product is still early. And that's why, like, you know, it would be good if you wanted to participate in that to provide feedback, but it's not, you know, it's not ready for. But insights is what we're going to talk about today. So, and that's our V1 version that we are launching. So insights, if you look at like, what are we trying to solve with this, right? So three primary goals. One is for members, one is for the projects themselves, and one is for contributors. For members, absolutely, right? Like you want to know where, you know, whether you have employees or partners contributing to this project. You want to essentially look at what is the impact you are making, right? Your company is making, and which communities or which parts of the project you want to engage more deeply. And you also use this for some kind of risk calibration, right? If activity is going up or down in some areas of the project. Now, for the projects themselves, obviously you want to grow the community, right? But while you're growing, you need metrics. You need metrics to measure the health. You want metrics to measure, you know, consistent quality. Also look at optimization ideas. So if you start looking into build pipelines, and you, as I'm just throwing examples out there, you start looking into, you know, hey, let's look at how is this trending over the past year or so. Maybe we went to a new platform. Did it improve our build efficiency or did not, right? Just as an example. And again, while you're collecting a lot of this data, one of the key elements that we tend to miss is like, is this data secure? Are we, like, when you collect metrics, you are dealing with a lot of personal information. When I say personal information, yeah, it's primarily email addresses. But again, these email addresses are not meant to be marketed, right? So are you storing it in a GDPR compliant way? Are you respecting the privacy policies? And particularly for contributors, you know, if you start looking at contributors, generally look at their commits and probably they're working off a backlog of, you know, release items that they need to, you know, work on in the next sprint. If you're working in sprints, right? However, can the contributors think a little, I wouldn't say out of the box, but think in a multidimensional way, right? Should they be thinking about security? So good topic. Everybody says we should think about security, but if are there security metrics available that can create a security backlog, right? A backlog of bugs, for an example. So essentially, the goals with what we're trying to achieve with insights is give you as much visibility into multiple areas. In the V1 product that we have right now, which we are launching, there are a few of these dimensions available. We haven't integrated our security service yet. We haven't integrated our license compliance service yet, but those are on our short-term roadmap. So I'll show you what is available today and then what is going to come in the near future. All right, so just as an overview, before we step right into a demonstration, first of all, this is homegrown, right? We, in the past, Linux Foundation never had a solution that we were offering, and we had to rely on some third-party tools. Sometimes these were okay, scalable, not scalable. We didn't really have any control over where the data resided. You know, was that secure enough? Not, but this has essentially been built for LF communities, like all the projects within the bigger umbrella of the Linux Foundation. And obviously it's built and secured and supported by LFIT. So we have a fairly large team supporting it from an operations perspective. And we are running this through thorough review from our legal team as well as our privacy team, right? So that we ensure that it is GDPR compliant, it is compliant to our Linux Foundation privacy policy. But we build this as a scalable platform. So it's not serving just one project, it's serving 500 plus projects across 62 large and small, you know, sister foundation that come under the Linux Foundation umbrella. And if you have to talk about features, I think the multi-dimensional views are the probably the biggest bang for the buck that you can get out of this product. We are not fully there yet, but I'll show you what's available today. And then obviously from a support perspective, we are, as we go live with this project, we are putting a support structure where we'll be able to provide 24/7 support and also offer weekly office hours with our engineers as well as some of the product managers that we have. Because you know, as you roll out any new tool, there is a certain amount of learning curve. So you know, we could throw you 100,000 metrics, but what's the most efficient way? What is that metric actually telling you, right? Based on the instrumentation that we are gathering, how are we interpreting the data, right? So these are the things that we are looking to do in terms of the enablement. Obviously, it comes with documentation, and I have the links in this presentation, which I'll share later. Okay. So features that are available today. So this version that we are rolling out is the V1 version. Now this is a SaaS-based service that we have built. So there is no user installation or anything needed. When we go to V2 or V3, it will be an in-place upgrade. So first thing we are gathering are metrics, right? So metrics actually depend on instrumentation. So I have given some examples of metrics. You know, we're gathering metrics around commits, contributors. You know, if you are on GitHub, you are used to pull requests. If you are on Gerrit, you are used to chain sets, right? Builds and, you know, issue tracking, whether you do it in Jira, whether you do it in GitHub issues or other places, right? If you're logging bugs in Bugzilla or, you know, documentation, if you're maintaining that in Confluence, right? Mailing lists in Groups.io. If you're using Slack, then, you know, what are those chat groups and more. So we do collect all these metrics pretty much on a daily basis. And these don't, like, we are not collecting that every time, like real time, but we do aggregate this on a daily basis. Now, if you really wanted to go deeper and make sure that we want to actually track even like on a real time basis, we could look into doing that. But I think it's more than sufficient based on the requirements that we have got, that, you know, daily scanning is more than sufficient at this point. Now, as we add data sources, as I said, we are not building for one project. We are building this for all of the projects. So we have automated, put in significant engineering effort into automating the instrumentation. So if a project goes and adds another data source tomorrow, we can turn on the instrumentation for 600 plus projects without actually having to make big code changes. We have built a dashboard layer. So in V1, you will find some dashboards. We, again, open source. So we have used a layer called as Kibana. You might be familiar with that, like if you have used tools like these in the past. But we are also building our custom dashboards on those. Two key things in the solution, which are a little challenging. So one is identity management and another one is affiliation. So one of the key things that we are solving is if you get people contributing code or logging issues, or let's say, you know, they are engaging on social media or, you know, using chat, right? Everyone would particularly have a different ID. There's no consistency in terms of, like, not everybody uses their corporate ID, right? Sometimes it's a personal ID. Sometimes you want to contribute as an individual contributor, not on behalf of your company. So there are n number of use cases, right? But the main problem we are trying to solve is how do we unify an identity of a person or a key contributor in the project, regardless of the emails or system IDs that they use in different places, right? can we stitch it all back to one person? And the second part is, obviously, for member companies, you want to see, like, obviously, if somebody is contributing code as an employee, you want that credit to be, you know, attributed to your company, right? So how do we do the affiliation with the company? So seems easy, but it's actually pretty difficult. You know, like if you think about like a system, where would you find this affiliation data? Would you find it on LinkedIn? But guess what? Like, you know, half, like many community members might not even keep their LinkedIn profile accurate. Many times they do, but like there is no single source of truth, right? You can treat some of these channels as your single source of truth. Like what happens when contributors switch companies while working on the same project, right? Maybe during the duration they worked on company A would want, you know, affiliation for that or credit for that code base to be attributed to their company. And when they switched to company B, how do you manage that, right? So it's not that, you know, you're just importing from LinkedIn if LinkedIn was a source of truth, right? So this is a complicated process, but we have a solution today. And then we are also building, in V1, we have a solution, how we manage this. It's done through an administrative console, but as we go and try to scale this out, we are building a more self-serve type of capability, which, you know, currently is used by projects like the Linux kernel, which is more self-serve based on Git DM. So I'll quickly touch upon that. And obviously, you know, as it's a cloud platform, the usual tenets, right, of a cloud, like it has to be scalable, it has to be multi-tenant, right? We need to have role-based access control. When we are talking about security, it's not just, you know, encrypted data, but it's also about like who's able to see security data as well, right? Like if there are emails floating around in the system, we should not be exposing them to anyone, right? There are certain role-based access control rules that we have put in place. Okay, so that's a list of marquee features that are available in the platform. And these are the data sources so that we are instrumenting as of today. And this list will grow. So we started with source control system where your code lives, right? It's either on Git. When I say Git, like, you know, I'm assuming Gerrit is also covered because, you know, obviously it's all Git under the hood. But GitHub, I've called it out specifically. Now we have projects who are also moving to GitLab. So we are working on the instrumentation for that. We don't have support for GitLab today. issue tracking systems. So we are now able to instrument GitHub issues, Bugzilla and Jira, if you're using Jira for your issues, right? If you're using Jenkins for your builds, we have instrumentation for that today. We are pulling in that data. We are also working on other platforms, you know, in certain cases, Travis CI, or some projects might use a third-party commercial tool like Circle. So we, as we go through this, right, we said if we had to do an audit across 600 projects, we found out that, hey, you know what, we probably have to instrument close to 50 to 60 data sources. But we are looking at, like, what's the most critical mass? Which are the ones that are commonly used? And that's what we instrumented first. So these are the first 11 that we instrumented. So this is pretty self-explanatory, right? Documentation, we got Confluence. Mailing list, we instrumented groups.io. You know, Mailman, which is kind of Piper Mail, is Mailman version 2. Patchworks, and then obviously Jira and Slack. And as I said, this list will grow. So one of the key things here is when we go and instrument this and we create a set of metrics, how do we know what metrics to collect? So some of these have been coming to us as part of requirements. Now, last year when we started this prototyping, we didn't really have very good requirements from the projects, right? Or from the TSCs who would say, hey, you know what, these metrics are, or these KPIs are important to us, right? So we went with a specification. In the Linux Foundation, there's a project called as Chaos. And we have some specs defined at an industry level. What are good developer metrics to collect? And that's what we, and, you know, implementations, everybody can implement it their own way. So we followed that specification and the best practices. But as I said, right, like as you start using this tool and you think there is data which is much more valuable, we are completely, the engineering team is completely receptive. And we are looking for that kind of feedback, right? What is helpful to you in your project? Okay.
Just a very, very quick question there. Is that, do you intend that to be feedback on, say, data sources that we might be interested in, and then there needs to be a design time update from the team? Or would that be something that could be like a reporting mechanism that we, the developers, could use to create our own reports or our own view of the data?
Yeah, so there is a report as well. So I'll jump right into the demo, but there's two ways. Like, we do create templatized dashboards. And but again, the way requirements come in would be a data source. But if you want to visualize data in a certain aspect, right, we actually have an open Confluence. And then we say, okay, like, what are the things you want to see? Do you want to see a pie chart, right? So there's a design session that we usually do. Now, if you want to just export the data out, there is anonymized data that we are letting you export. You can download from any dashboard. And you can, you know, for example, if you use this data for voting, we have created you a voting dashboard, which we think is relevant for your voting. And if you feel like, hey, we should have more data on that, my team is open to, you know, getting that feedback and baking it in. And we usually work in sprints, right? For each sprint for us is a 2-week process. And like, whenever we build it, we have a test and a staging system, and then we roll it out. And usually what we do is, when we get the requirements, have a back and forth, we work on the design, get it approved. And as soon as we roll it out, we put it on our staging environment, get a user acceptance, and then it goes to prod, right? So usual software development lifecycle. But again, like, if you wanted to download the data, obviously we cannot give you the emails, right? Because that's kind of protected by the privacy policy. But you can export pretty much the list from every graph, right? Anonymized, sure. Non-private data.
Sure. So if we wanted to say, as a company, we wanted to see all the different projects which our company employees were working in, we could run a query, or we could create a report to show that across a number of projects within LM.
You can. And we are also building a company specific view, which is not in there is V1. You can filter that. I'll show you how to, if you're looking at a single project. But if you wanted to get a global view, I'll give you a sneak peek of what is coming up in V2. That's kind of an out-of-box dashboard that we are building. That one is a little bit further out, right? It's probably down in fall that we're going to ship that version. Okay. All right. So let's go into a quick demo. And let me bring this thing up. So I have this site up. Obviously, this URL is going to change. It's right now called lfanalytics.io, but we are switching the domain. We rebranded this as Community Bridge Insights. So here you can see, like, you know, we have different foundations and projects under each foundations. Foundations are not just but collection of projects, right? So if I look into, similarly, you know, you have networking and edge and others. But if I look at ORAN, what we did was, again, this is based on requirements that we got from, you know, PMs who are managing, like Trishan and others, right? So what we did is we created a summary, first of all, because ORAN, I think the requirements we got were a little different from how we handle other projects. You know, you have a lot of these sub-projects, but these sub-projects, if you realistically look at it, these are a few repositories, but these are like very small, right? But if you needed like a summary view across all of ORAN SC, so we just yesterday, we said, hey, we got some feedback on an email thread saying, hey, why don't we create a summary view? So what we did is we consolidated all these smaller projects or sub-projects, if you like to call it, and we put that under this summary card. So if I look at this summary card, and if you look into, for example, what are the projects? So, you know, these are all the projects that we are getting data from, right? So this is like a summarization across that. Now, if I were to look at repositories under these and start looking into, again, the ones these are loading, these are essentially what we call as Kibana dashboard. And you'll see a big unknown. I'll tell you what that means, right? But if you start looking into, obviously, this is data, but if I were looking into all these projects, right, all these companies and all these projects, right, so it's a summary. Now, just if I have to put a simple solution for one of the use case that you just presented, what if I wanted to filter for AT&T? Okay, I can click that and I can just hit that filter. So if I'm looking at AT&T and particularly I'm looking at all around ORAN SC, this gives me a good summary of my contributions to all these projects, right? And who are my employees? What are the, obviously there's sorting here, right? You can look into commits and projects, lines of code added, removed lines, average files that they've changed, right? Who are the active contributors? And again, these are your contributions as a company. I'm just selected AT&T, right? You can obviously export this data out, right? If you wanted, there's a raw format. We'll not give you the emails for privacy purposes, but definitely you'll get the names, right? These are all the repositories that you have touched. Again, you can break it down by lines of code, right? Commits, removed, and all that. So these fairly granular metrics, we have pagination to support scaling. Now, let me go back and rescale that. Also, if you would, again, that's a simple way of filtering. We are adding more better filtering in here. But you'll see there is something here called as unknown. I'll come back to that. But let me just clear this out. So there are like a lot of filters you can add, right? You can even create your own custom filters, right? Yeah, you know, you can do anything. You can filter by a user, you can filter by authors, you can filter by orgs and whatnot, right? So there's a query DSL behind it. Now, if I look into the summary itself, right? If I look into this card, obviously we are building shortly in a couple of weeks, you'll see that we are implementing a much more nicer looking UI skin around this. But if you realistically look at it, we have source control metrics. Now, where are your source control data coming from? This is essentially coming from Gerrit because that's where your code base is. You might look at a few other projects out there where the code base is distributed on Gerrit and GitHub. So we do instrument both, but essentially we are going by Git, right? That's the underlying protocol. And there are like N number of dashboards under each of them. Like how do you slice and dice the data, right? If you're looking at data around like efficiency metrics, right? And if you want to filter for organization, let's say AT&T again. Now, when I say AT&T, how do you know? This is all based on like, you know, is the affiliation done correctly, right? Only then that filtering works. But if you're looking at things like average time to merge, what is the lead time, right? So if your start of, you know, your lead time starts to grow, you have something to worry about, right? Like, is the project moving fast enough? And you can also filter by particular companies and whatnot, right? Similarly, if you look at issues, obviously I'm not going to go into each dashboard. I'm just going to show you a summary. You know, you can click around and start looking at the data for yourself. But similarly, when people are submitting issues, these are all from a Jira perspective, right? So when are those issues getting submitted? What is the status of those, right? How many are done, to do, in progress, review? How is it tracking, right? Which company submitted? Like when I say company, these are like people working for affiliated with a particular company, right? How many issues they have submitted? Who are these submitters, right? Who are these people? Which are the contributors who have been assigned these issues? So actually no, right? And then you look at these submitters. These are the people right here. You see a problem. You see, this is a Gmail ID. Why would you ever have a Gmail ID? Now, if the particular user specifically said and used their Gmail ID as their user ID, right, that's when this will show up. And that's something we want to prevent. In this case, when you're, you know, rolling this out, you probably know this person. And you might want to encourage them not to like create their user, like, you know, out in the open with their email IDs, because we want that as private data, right? You probably want a username instead of, again, this is how they've been working on Jira, right? But again, this is across all the projects, right? So we have created this cross project view. And similarly, if you look at documentation, right? If you start looking at Confluence, again, the pages that you have, you can directly go and jump from each of these pages. Right, like if you were looking at this TOC one, and I say, okay, where's this TOC one? And I want to just, you can filter. There's another way to filter in, like these plus and minus buttons are also like filtering. But again, you know, similar data, like who are the top editors, right? Who's editing on a daily basis, right? Which are the last created pages? So you can start looking into like multiple dimensions of the data. If you start looking at who is active in your mailing lists, right? What are the key topics that people are talking about, right? And again, this can get more granular, right? How many messages are sent? Like if your mailing list start to go silent, you do have something to handle. Maybe an attrition issue or something, right? Who are the most active people who are, you know, posting messages, right? So, and similarly, like if you're looking at your build jobs, right? We do instrument Jenkins. So if you start getting into, I'm just showing you some of these dashboards. There are a lot of efficiency dashboards and whatnot. So you can look into like all these build jobs and what are the exact jobs, did they pass, fail and all not. And you have different types of filters, right? So if you're by default looking at like last 90 days, you can go back, you know, monthly, yearly, last 5 years. Last 5 years is essentially the biggest time filter that we are supporting, right? If your project dates like maybe beyond that, I think that's something we can handle. But so far, we know we have, most projects has given us requirements that last 5 years is kind of more than enough, right? And then just to quickly touch base, if you're looking at like voting, and I can see here email IDs. I'll tell you why I am able to see. If you click on that active dashboard, you will not. Let me see if I can sign out because I am an administrator. So I can sign out. And let's go back to the same project. And let's see here. And if I look at that same one, and look at your active contributors, you will see that their emails are hidden now. I just see their names and their companies. And if I start looking over, okay, let's do last one year. What is my leaderboard look like, right? So you can essentially sort it by things like lines of code, commits, right? But if I'm looking at this, what does this tell me? This essentially shows me the most active contributors because yeah, guess what? You might have contributors who were there in the system 3 years back, but are they the most active ones today, right? Because you might be using some of this logic from voting purposes, right? So based on what is their activity, this also points to like, you know, maybe it's on code, maybe it's on Gerrit in the build system, maybe it's on, like if you were using GitHub, then it would be on GitHub issues and all, wiki and whatnot, right? But if you start looking at it, what is this? What is this visual? It's actually showing you a pipeline of how code is moving, okay? So I'll show you a better representation that we are building. These are raw metrics in a tabular format, but we are also building pretty dynamic graphical views around this data. But let me quickly pause here. And any questions so far? I do want to talk about that affiliation part, but any questions so far?
Well, I think unknown pieces, just touch on that.
Okay. Yeah, so unknown. So what does unknown mean? Unknown means that the user, so if you look at like individual, these are all the individuals, right? We get all the individuals. But when we talk about a company, what unknown means is that the users, like 22% of your users haven't been affiliated with the company yet. And this is where, you know, affiliation comes in. So today, there is no automated way of self-affiliating. So I'll show you what the problem is, right? So if I basically do an admin sign-in, and we have given this sign-in option to the PMs, but if I look at affiliation management, and let's say, you know, I have records in here. So let's pick up, these are all the unaffiliated users in the system today. So if I look at John, I know John, you work for it, a company, right? But if I look at your record here, right? Let's look at here. So I get some identity here. What did I get? I got like JITB95 as your username that came from Confluence. Just looking at it, I cannot determine what your company affiliation is. But if I knew you work for AT&T or somebody in the community knew that you can go in and you add your organization, I could say, hey, John works for AT&T, right? And I could put a start date and an end date. I'm not going to do it because I'm not sure where John works. But this is like a single record, simpler. Now, this can get a little complicated. So let's say, pick up another record here, right? And
so how do we have users go in and update this information? That's the question.
Exactly. So today there's a manual process. What happens is the PMs, what they can do is they can add and merge records. So we have given this ability to the PMs, and what I also have is I have a team here of interns who can look into this data on LinkedIn, try to find your best identity and merge your multiple records and also put in your work history here. But we want end users to do it themselves. So we are working on a self-serve affiliation system. That self-serve affiliation system should be available roughly in about a couple of months, right? So for the time being, we have an admin interface, which PMs like Trishan and I have a team of interns who is using this data to update affiliations. And the more affiliations they update, your unknown companies start to disappear. So right now, like 80% of your affiliation is correct. The rest 20% needs to be, and this needs to be done, like if you have new contributors coming in all the time, this needs to be progressively done. But as I said, this is not scalable. So yeah, there is a solution today. You can merge it, you can add it. So this console is provided for administrators, but we are building a self-serve. But the self-serve model is a couple of months out, if that gives you an idea. Make sense?
Okay. So.
All right.
So, anyone else have questions?
Just very briefly, I guess, because we've gone over time now, but there's a beta version of this available at the moment. When is it sort of rolled out? When I will say, because it's evolving all the time. When is it available to sort of use in Anchor? Is it now already at the beta release? Or
yeah, so V1 is available right now. And we have loaded in all the projects that we got as requirements. So like if you look at this site, lfanalytics.io, all the data I was showing is actually live coming in from Oran SC. So it's actually available to use right away. All we need to do is there's a release schedule, and I'll share you this roadmap. Like we are out of time today. There is a roadmap here that I've detailed, and there's also like, you know, newer views we are building in terms of code pipelines. This is what I was talking about earlier. Is like the tabular view you have, you know, we can stitch all this together, but this is like V2 that we are building, but V1 is available today to use. So there is a rollout plan that we've been working with the PMs in the networking team. So we are doing waves of onboarding and sign-offs. Basically, these go into user acceptance testing and then we cut live. So wave one, we are doing CNTT, FIDO, Open Daylight. We already presented to ODL and CNTT. Wave two, we want to go with Oran. And so these projects are put in waves. This is just the networking projects. And then there are like, we're also onboarding all of the other Linux Foundation projects, like within CNCF, Hyperledger, AI Foundation, Linux Kernel, and others. But there's a link here. There's a documentation link. These are all live, available today. And you know, if you have feature requests, bugs, you can actually file tickets. And this is the roadmap. Trishan or David, you want to talk about the rollout plan?
So can we get these slides emailed to us so we can put it up on our website so people can reference it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, Christian, just get them to Farheen. She'll get them up on the website. Because we're already five minutes over for today. Maybe we could, you know, if there's interest, we can set up another time to go through this in a little more, you know, with a little more detail.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So very quickly, I know we're short on time. So we split the schedule into greenfield projects such as Oran that don't already have a developer analytics tool. And that's the collection of projects you see here. So last week we talked to CNTT. This week it's FIDO, OPX, and ORAN. Next week, DBDK, and then Tungsten Fabric the week after that. These are the projects that currently do have a developer analytics tool. We spoke with ODL last week. OPNFV is coming up next week, and then the following week, ONAP. So that's the schedule for LFN.
Right. So yeah, and after this presentation, we are looking at a 2-week period where the affiliation data needs to be updated and there's user acceptance test happening. So the PMs have been validating the data that we're instrumenting is correct. And then we can cut live, but live doesn't mean that, you know, you cannot submit more feature requests and enhancement requests or file bugs, right? So we'll have an open, and I'll have all the links in here. And the docs are also there. There are user guides how to use these metrics. So V1 is kind of available to use right away.
Okay, so is there a best procedure for closing these unknowns? We'll work with Trishan, but how do we do that? Is Trishan, can you, is there any guidance? Does Trishan generate a list of names that we can work through? Do they, is there a recommended process to get this resolved?
Yeah, there are. I would say that there are a couple. So I think Trishan is one admin. If you want to identify one or a couple more admins from ORAN SC who can actually work on affiliation, we can give them full access to the admin tool so they can merge identities and create affiliations. Otherwise, we have a filter list. So we already know who the unknowns are, but I can have my interns work on updating the affiliation, but there are people in the community only you will know, right? So I'll let Trishan, like, how are you thinking of handling that?
Yeah, I think if we can get a couple of members in the community, we can add them. And then the list, if you print it out, and we can work through it offline, and then maybe merge it back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to get, you know, to get that percentage way down so that the information is more useful. With such a high unknown, it's difficult. The information can be misleading. Okay, so we'll set up a process with that. Thank you very much for your time today. I mean, we've been looking forward to this tool and, you know, been playing around with it behind the scenes, trying to get it, you know, watch it as it progresses. So we're very excited about using it. The key is getting it, you know, highly accurate so everyone is using the same data and not, you know, generating the data through different paths. All right. I know we're starting to lose people from the meeting. Is there anybody who has any more questions for the analytics team? Okay. Well, thank you very much for today. Let's return to the agenda, just wrapping it up. Is there any other business today that people need to raise before we close the meeting? Lejing, do you have a meeting we're handing you off to?
It will be rather short today again. I mean, unless I do not have a fixed agenda, we're busy doing the testings. So I don't know, unless if there's anybody having any discussions, any points to raise, I guess we can cancel today's meeting. I guess hearing none, we won't have the meeting today.
All right, so the key obviously is getting things, you know, keep working towards completing our tests. Please stay focused, get back to Lejing if he needs help on any of this integration work. Appreciate what's going on. It's a challenging time, but appreciate everyone's efforts and see if we can stay on track for our release here in a couple of weeks. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.